For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is the Lembit Opik Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Lembit Opik Show here on today's News Talk TNT, where we find the facts, we kill the spin, and tell it like it is as best we can. Yes, we express opinions, but we separate those from facts. I don't expect you to believe my propaganda. I ask you to listen and draw your own conclusions. That is the only qualification you need to get the most out of TNT. One request, do go to the today's News Talk, the tntradio.live chat. I can't possibly keep up with the speed at which you good people have dialogues, and oftentimes there are completely separate threads there, things that aren't directly relevant to what we're discussing, but which are interesting all the same. You'll also find phone numbers wherever you are in the world at any time of day. You can call to get involved in our conversation. We get very tight on time, despite the length of the show, just because my guests are so interesting and we have so much to cover. As long as I can, I'll get you on as well. You don't have to agree with what we're saying. You just have to have a point of view. In a few minutes, I'm going to be speaking to one of the most erudite and clear-headed politicians I've been honored to know in the United Kingdom, Anne Widdecombe, former government minister, about an absolute scandal relating to child maintenance. She'll explain that in her own words shortly. Before we go there, I just want to follow up two things from the show so far. One is this extraordinary obsession with a fake photograph, which apparently was created by the Princess of Wales in the United Kingdom, where the media published it, then they withdrew it, then there was a confusion, and then there was an apology from the royal family spokesperson or the Princess of Wales herself. A subject so important that it usurped a defection from the party of government to another party, the Reform UK party. I watched live aghast when the taxpayer-paid, state-sponsored station decided to report an apology by the Princess of Wales. It wasn't really breaking news. It could have waited 20 minutes and stopped me from seeing a really important speech by somebody who'd had the courage to change party. And that indicates, as Paul McGowan, my previous guest, suggests, that something's gone horribly wrong in the judgment calls. And then, of course, the apology itself seems strange, because if I'd been the Princess of Wales, I've said, yes, I did Photoshop it like a lot of people. So what? But there we go. We'll come back to that in the future, I'm sure. The other point I want to make is this. Many of you have been talking about on social media and also on the tntradio.live chat about the prison system and whether it's right or wrong the way it's operated. I can see we need to have a deeper conversation about this. And therefore, after the show today, I'll talk with my team and we'll see if we can spend some serious time on this one weekend to work out what's going right in the prison system, what's going wrong in the prison system, what might be different. That's not a subject you often hear debated with any depth on the mainstream, the legacy media, the state-sponsored media, because people have angles, I think, when they want to please their paymasters. All we have to do is ensure that we give you the facts and you can draw your opinion. And fundamentally, I think there is a debate to be had, which is not being had in British Parliament. One last one, a very, very long contribution by Seb, which I haven't got time to read in full. But it's a question of editing and so forth and back catalogues. And then Seb goes on to say, those who can do, those who can't teach, those who cannot teach become snivel servants, whilst whoever is even incapable of securing such a fate worse than death job for life enter themselves into a popularity contest with the vain, pun intended, notion of being voted into office. But Seb, you're very pessimistic there. I have met good politicians. I just think we're badly served by career politicians, people who've never really done anything else and only wanted to be politicians instead of having a narrative. Those are the worst people. And one of them, I believe, ruined my old party, the Liberal Democrats, Nick Clegg. I felt that he was more determined to be leader than to be a Liberal or a Democrat. I indeed wrote a book about it, The Alternative View, warning that under his leadership, the party would be destroyed. So to appoint Seb, and not for the first time, I'm in some agreement with what you've said, but I don't want to damn the whole of politics, because a lot of people do go in there for principled reasons. Let me summarise what we've got so far. A commitment from me to look at the prison system on a future debate. It won't be today or tomorrow. We haven't got time to set it up. A continuing concern about why the royal family photograph wasn't simply brushed away as, of course it was doctored. That's what people do. That's what paintings are. It's normally a favorable sponsored portrait of a person. And thirdly, this weird tit for tat that we've got between career politicians who don't seem to have an agenda that makes sense. None of that can be said of my next guest, who has always had a narrative, who speaks clearly, who disagrees with honest intent when she does, and who doesn't choose sides on the basis of who she wants to impress, but rather on the basis of the quality of the arguments which are presented. We're going to be speaking with Anne Widdecombe in just a minute about a terrible, terrible miscarriage of justice, something which she and her colleagues have highlighted and has not got that much coverage during the week. We're going to give her the rest of this hour to make a case which affects hundreds of thousands or potentially millions of people in this country. All of that with me, Len Bitopic, right here on today's News Talk TNT.
It's the stuff.
It's that division
people are talking about.
And that cluelessness that they want to push.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
If you've ever had children and a relationship that failed, you may have been affected, especially in the United Kingdom, by the authorities as they try to work out who owes what to whom and a lot more besides. Have a look at this clip.
We've got a government department that apparently just can act out with the law, independently of the law. The law is obliged by law to rubber stamp what they decide. How can that be just?
In that clip, you saw Anne Widdecombe, a former government minister in the United Kingdom. It says in the front of one of the newspapers, "We must challenge the unfair child maintenance system," says Anne Widdecombe. Today, as you are reading this column, yet another parent is facing jail because of the child maintenance service that's trying to get money that is not owed. And this time that parent to whom I have spoken is a woman. That's what Anne Widdecombe says. She joins me now. And thank you very much for taking time from what must be a busy day to discuss this issue. What has caused you to get involved in this campaign, and what's the campaign about, in your words?
Well, this has been going on for many years. I was actually in government in what was then called the Department of Social Security at the time that the law was brought in. And the theory was fine. The theory was that if you had a child, you were responsible for it. And if you disappeared and left usually the woman to bring it up, then you had to pay towards that child's maintenance. Fine, wonderful, nobody disagrees. Unfortunately, the way that that law has been put into practice the way that law has been put into practice is a scandal. What happens is that what is now the DWP, the Department of Work and Pensions, estimates what the father, generally it's the father, what the father owes. And very often, there's no sense in it at all. It's based on sums of money which the father hasn't earned. Particularly that applies to the armed forces, where they get special allowances if they go on individual missions. When they come back, those allowances disappear. But the DWP, or the CMS, which is the Child Maintenance Service, just carries on as if they're still getting the money. So enormous arrears build up. Now, theoretically, if you disagree with the estimate they've made, you can go to a tribunal. But what actually happens is this. People think that all they've got to do is point out to the CMS what is wrong, argue with them and take them through it. And they go on doing that, and then suddenly they're told a liability order has been issued. So they weren't told it was about to be issued and they should go to a tribunal double quick. And once a liability order is issued, you can't go to a tribunal, but there's something much worse than that. If you're then taken to court to pay that liability order, you cannot contest it in a court of law. The law itself actually says that the judge or the magistrate cannot take into account any dispute over the liability. Now, that to me, I mean, it's against Magna Carta, it's against natural justice. It is a complete scandal. And yet, nobody will do anything about it. And indeed, in a recent change to the law, to make it easier for the CMS to collect, the minister said, right, well, in the future, this can be done just by issuing a countercourt judgment. But again, can't be challenged. The sums cannot be challenged in a court of law. I cannot begin to understand why that is considered just. The CMS isn't fit for purpose. Not only does it do that for men, but it doesn't collect women. I think there was something like 24,500 cases identified by the National Audit Office where the money that had been collected by the CMS hadn't actually been paid on to the resident parent, and that amounted to several billion pounds.
This is a shocking, and to me, as a former parliamentarian, almost unbelievable circumstance, because you've told me two things which sound horrendous. Number one, that they can miscalculate the sums. And number two, there is no right to appeal, that the judge's decision is final. How on earth can anyone think this is just?
Well, I've absolutely no idea. The standard reply from the CMS is, oh, well, you can go to a tribunal. But as I've explained, once the liabilities order has been issued, you cannot go to a tribunal at that point. And that very often is issued while you're still in discussions with CMS, imagining that you can get it sorted out. Now, this isn't just something the fathers say or something I say. The National Audit Office itself says that money is collected which is not owed. And Noel Shanahan, the then head of the CMS, said a few years ago now, so there's been plenty of time for him to put it right, and hasn't been. Said a few years ago that they deliberately inflated the amount supposedly owed. He actually said it to a parliamentary committee. He said it. And still it goes on. That was some years ago. That wasn't a revelation last week.
And did they inflate it because they thought that that was the right-on thing to do, that they thought that they would meet with favour at that committee, or were they pretending that that was some kind of a cute negotiation system that made them seem tough?
Closer to the latter, what they actually said was, if they wanted to get a parent to engage with them, they thought that inflating the figures might frighten that parent into doing it. I mean, it's you can't believe it. You can't believe this is Britain. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, an underdeveloped state with a dictatorship. I mean, it's unbelievable that there should be nothing. There should be nothing in a just society which you can't challenge at all.
Yeah. This is disgraceful. In the article that I looked at in the Express newspaper in the United Kingdom, you cite an example where an assessment was made of, I'm just praising it for speed, of £20,000, but then the Crown Prosecution Service decided to go for £50,000. On what rationale?
Well, actually, on that occasion, the barrister, who is not normally a sympathetic character, but that barrister wouldn't actually put that sum of £50,000 to the court because he said, where's it come from? You know, what is this about? But the mere fact that they think they can just inflate a sum in the court itself when they've been chasing a completely different sum is unbelievable. And it's all documented.
That's what bothers me. I have always known you to be data-based in your approach on things, and no one seems to be challenging the content of that video, that quite substantial program that you have been involved in making. And thus, we find ourselves in a most horrendous circumstance where it almost seems that either the people who were giving the evidence said all this with a bit of pride, or they simply don't care about the consequences to the parent that they're pursuing, most of whom, of course, are men, and many of whom, in the specific case you've been campaigning on, are soldiers or former soldiers.
Yes, that's quite true. But the case that I quoted in the Express was a woman. And I did that quite deliberately because I think everybody thinks, you know, well, it's the women who are hard done by in this because they don't get the money. But whoever the paying parent is, that's the non-resident parent, whether it's a man, which it usually is, or a woman, which it occasionally is, the same injustice applies. And I asked to see the minister, Lord Younger, didn't even get a reply. He could have said no. He could have said, would I approach an MP to organise the meeting? He could have said anything, but just didn't bother to reply. Mel Stride, whom I admire and who is my own MP, was the MP who stood up in Parliament as a minister and then made it possible for these orders to be issued through the County Court. So it is a completely one-sided mess. And what worries me is regular suicides because of this. And yet nobody cares. Nobody does anything about it.
And I very much agree with you when you say that this isn't gender specific. One of my great annoyances is that it's always assumed that domestic abuse means men against women. But of course, it's not about gender. It's about abuse. And it seems to be the same in this situation. Stay with us, Anne. One of your former constituents wants to provide a very, very supportive example of the same thing in a moment. You're listening to Lembitopic on the Lembitopic Show. I'm with former government minister Anne Widdecombe, who is exposing an absolute scandal where you can be taken to the cleaners by the authorities who seem to take pride in inflating figures to force a very difficult negotiation without any right to reply. If that's affected you, then get involved in the chat at tntradio.live. You can call in as well. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Ashley, who's called in to my show. This is Lembitopic. This is TNT. See you in a minute.
TNT's Chris Smith.
I can tell you that Donald Trump is projected to win primaries in the states of Texas, Minnesota, Colorado, Virginia, Maine, Massachusetts, Arkansas, Alabama, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and North Carolina. And in a little bit of a turn up, the northeastern state of Vermont looks to have gone to his rival, his final rival, the former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley's team has said that she won't be speaking tonight. That has been construed by many of the reporters in that location as she's about to exit the race in the next 24 hours.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Irish government is proposing a law known as the Hate Speech Bill that threatens free speech. This law could have dire consequences for our democracy.
Next month, and then on to the next week.
This law will have uncertain effects on artistic and musical expression.
Please support us.
It could stifle the activity of public campaigning on political and civil issues, and also curtail speech relating to topics about religion, ethnicity, sex, and gender.
You could even be jailed for possessing documents, cartoons or memes on your devices, even if you never read them or intended on sharing them. Mere possession could make you a criminal under this law. Help stop this law. Visit www.freespeechireland.ie/take action to bin the hate speech bill.
At the top of the hour, we'll keep on top of the news.
It's the most important thing we can do.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to me, Lembitopic, here every Saturday and Sunday, digging deep into stories that you may not even have heard about anywhere else. We like the views for free speech for a simple reason. Without freedom, really our society is fairly pointless, and we're as bad as the people that we've declared war on from time to time. There's one very disturbing story we're talking with Anne Widdecombe, former British government minister, about right now. That is the miscarriage of justice is being meted out by the child support system, with special emphasis in this conversation towards those who have been in the British military. Story so far, the authorities can come after you on inflated and incorrect figures, and you have no right to appeal. And it seems, according to evidence given directly in a formal environment in Parliament, some of those progenitors of this system, those applying it, say with some pride that they inflate the figures to try to get more out of the the victims of this system. The victims, of course, are those people being pursued for the money, but potentially others too, if this leads to suicide. And before we go further with you, we have a caller, Ashley. Ashley, you would like to say something to Anne Widdecombe. The floor is yours.
Yes. Hi, Lembit. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Ashley.
Hello. So basically, I'm in the child maintenance bubble. My wage has been exaggerated and I've got arrears that are false. And I've tried to go to my local MP. She's Helen Grant, Maidstone MP. Anne Widdecombe, what she talks about with reform is total sense. You know, she talks total sense. And we need something like that, you know. When there's a vote coming along, I'm voting Reform Party because they seem to know what they're talking about. The Conservatives and the Labour, they just don't seem to have a clue. You know, Labour, you know, they bought the child maintenance service into this. And it just needs a whole overhaul, sorry, because the system isn't working. You know, I've got to share care of my son and I'm being asked to pay £250 a month. I have 50-50 care, you know. She claims child benefits, so she gets the story, you know. And Anne Widdecombe, you know, we need her in Parliament. We need her emphasis. She talks a lot of sense, you know. Sorry, it's just so frustrating. The whole system just needs overhauling.
Anne?
Indeed. I mean, I'm sorry, Ashley, that you're suffering from this. It doesn't get boring. I mean, there's no doubt about that. If you approach your MP and you don't get action, you're fully entitled to go back and ask again. But the appalling thing here is that the system is just so completely stacked against the paying parent. And indeed, I mean, they take things like overtime and all the rest of it, and they treat it as if this is normal.
You're allowed to do better.
And the reason Reform has taken this up is really very simple. For years now, I and others have been trying to get the major parties to take an interest in this. They never have. Reform is the only party which is fully committed to repealing that law which says you can't actually challenge it at law.
Mm. I'm just wondering if you have, Ashley, have you got a view about what should happen in your specific case?
I think there needs to be an absolute overhaul. Because like Anne said, if I do overtime, say for 1 month only, I then have to prove over 3 months that was a one-off. And then you're paying over what you should be paying. It should be means tested. That's my opinion. It should be means tested. You know, you do this, you know, so for, let's say, for example, a mother has three different fathers. They're getting paid £300 each from each father. That's £900. And they're like, well, we'd have to go work. Well, no, let's encourage work. Let's encourage, you know, it should be a simple rule. Each child is worth this amount. You know, no child is worth more than the other. But the CMS seem to think, well, if your wage is higher, you have to pay a lot more than, and try and do, you know, your extra bit and go do a bit of overtime, for example. You've got to pay more. Well, no, we're trying to make what's best of our own.
Thank you, Ashley. And that does seem to, I'm not sure that Ashley was necessarily in the military, it does seem to me that the system creates resentment and a certain amount of despair. Because if you have to prove you're not getting the extra money, and it's a little bit like what you described with the overtime in the military, the whole system assumes you're guilty of earning more than you are until you prove it, your innocence. Seems to be a very difficult thing to do.
Well, that is completely true, and that is why figures are so badly inflated. But I would worry less about that if there was a simple way of challenging it. If, you know, you didn't actually have a full stop at the point where they've issued the liability order, but if you were able to say, I'm sorry, that order is wrong. And they should be able to go to a tribunal at that stage or challenge it in court when the CMS try to enforce the liability order. To me, that is the crux of this, is that these figures are issued, but there is no real means of challenge. And what I would say to everybody is, the instant you get a figure that is wrong, don't try and argue with the CMS, because they'll just issue a liability order while you're not looking. Say immediately that you want to go to a tribunal. And by the time they find that, you know, a large percentage of people are going to a tribunal, which in itself will clog up the system, they might actually revise the way that they do things.
The issue, though, is many of the people in this situation are also families in crisis. I dealt with a lot of abuse cases when I was a member of parliament, an inordinately large number, actually, when I think about the size of my constituency. And oftentimes, child maintenance matters were closely connected to an absent parent and abuse. Many times it was actually men who were being pursued by women who they'd left because of abuse. And they didn't have the mental bandwidth to deal with the authorities. And so they would come to me because they were crumbling, they were insolvent, and their finances were in chaos. Is there any support structure for people in that circumstance, apart from like the CAB? Is there any formal support structure for them?
Well, Citizens Advice Bureau is about the only thing that is around that is free and isn't actually going to cost you money to access. And the MP, of course, who should be able to write on your behalf to whatever government department it is that's causing the trouble. The fact still remains that the CMS, by and large, is not accountable to anybody. You know, the National Audit Office says sums are being required which aren't owed, and therefore, what next? You know, is there a review of every single case that's challenged? Mm. You know, what follows this statement from the NAO? Nothing.
Unforgivably, in my view, Anne Widdecombe, the media is more interested in talking about Photoshop pictures by the Princess of Wales, which is a non-story, which the royal family didn't help much by. They should have simply said, yes, so what? And mud throwing between various the Labour and Conservative about racism, when you've actually launched something which doesn't affect just the number of tens or hundreds, probably tens of thousands of people. I'm looking now back to January this year, and there was a headline in The Express, which seems to be a newspaper that has shown some interest in this. Anne Widdecombe exposes the next big miscarriage of justice that no one is talking about. The victims of the Child Maintenance Service are being pursued for sums of money they simply do not owe and could never have owed. It does seem to me, Anne, that you focused on the armed forces, but if we step back from that, this could affect hundreds of times more people than the post office scandal, which is making regular headlines.
Well, I think the suicide rate for the CMS scandal already exceeds, as far as I know, that of the post office. There is, so you can find it online, there is something called the Book of the Dead, which actually lists all those who've committed suicide as a result of pressure from the CMS, or where pressure from the CMS has played a part in that decision. And that alone should cause the authorities to pause and think. And I think this is the next big scandal. And the only problem we have is trying to get anybody interested in it. Now, if these were women being pursued, you would get a lot of interest. But somehow, men always seem to come off second best when you have this sort of problem. And people think, oh, well, they can take care of themselves. Doesn't follow. And let's just look at what we're saying. The state requires payment of sums of money that are not owed and could never have been paid, refuses to look at that, and then the state says that in a court of law which will enforce that assessment, it cannot be challenged. How is that just? How is it just? Now, I did concentrate on the armed services in that particular program that I did, but I've been saying that for years on behalf of loads and loads of men, and indeed a few women who are paying parents, that and this is just wrong. In 2005, I wrote a novel about somebody being sued by the CMS. Nothing, just all down the years, nothing has happened. Now Reform has come along, and Reform is interested. And it's the only party that is.
After, in about 5 minutes, we'll have a break. And after the break, I want to talk about the bigger picture of how you see British politics developing. I'm on record, and you know I'm deeply concerned about the decline and fall of the quality of political representation in this country. But we'll come to that and Reform after the break. And you had a conference quite recently. We talked then too. Just returning to the specific subject matter of the military hero to zero video. I know that's not what it's called, but it was a very good line that you've used in the publicity. What's your experience and observation about these military people who often have PTSD? They have post-traumatic stress disorder from something I've never experienced, which is a frontline military service. Is there an additional issue there which exacerbates a problem we already know exists when people go back to Civvy Street?
Well, yes, of course there is. We actually heard from one wing commander that he had to abort a mission because one of the people on that mission was so completely stressed out by the CMS. Not by the mission, not by armed service, not by danger, by the CMS. Now, I mean, you know, that is so, so deplorable. And yet again, as I say, nobody's interested in it. We also talked to a major who is responsible for welfare, and he said large numbers of people that we deal with are stressed out by the CMS. Now, these are people that we are asking to go and defend the country, and they're stressed out because they're being chased for sums of money that they don't owe. It is different where money is owed, that they don't owe.
It's just breathtaking to me that, I suppose to coin a phrase somewhat spontaneously, that our military capability, our fighting capability, is being tangibly compromised against the enemy at the gate when the enemy is the state you're defending.
Yeah, I don't think that's an exaggeration number. I think that just sums up the situation.
When I think about how many broken families there are in this country, and that's not a new thing, and I don't know if it's got better or worse, I suspect it has become more prevalent because divorce rates have been about steady, but there are a lot more single parents.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is if what you're describing is the exacerbation of an already existent problem where the parents are at war, the children are the collateral damage, and the authorities make it worse by creating an economic dissonance that the parent being pursued, either male or female, can't possibly keep up these payments, but has no way out because there's no right to appeal.
That's absolutely right. I mean, that, as I've said before, that just sums up the situation. That is where we are. But we shouldn't always think this happens where there are warring parents. Of course, it's much worse where there are warring parents. But we had one case of somebody who was being pursued by the CMS for large sums of money, which he didn't know. And he actually reached out to his ex-wife's new husband. And the new husband said in very puzzled tones, "That's odd. We haven't had anything since 2013. What are they doing with the money they're collecting?"
This is just stunning to me. Obviously, I did some research into this, but I didn't realize the extent to which this is a clear and present danger to the very mindsets, which will be under stress anyway. Because you've got children in between. You've probably people who are either lonely or in a fractured relationship situation, or as you've said, they may have separated, but they could be on good terms, and this could ruin it. This could actually ruin things. What would be the solution?
Had one case, which is unusual, but the father denied paternity, said it's not my child, and he wanted a DNA test to prove it. And the CMS refused because they said data protection means we can't give you details of the claimant.
What?
Yeah, seriously, I couldn't believe it. But yes, that happened.
This is the kind of thing that would happen in room 101 in probably my most quoted book on my show, which is 1984. No way out.
No way out. No way out. The state is supreme.
Well, the way out has, as you've suggested, turned out to be suicide. Can I check? I mean, it may not have the answer to this, Anne, but is it statistically provable that those facing this are more likely to commit suicide, take their own lives, than those who are not in this situation? As I say, if you haven't got the data, it's something for me to look at later.
Studies have shown, I can't quote you the exact figures now, but what I can say is studies have shown that the suicide rate amongst people being sued by the CMS is higher than the suicide rate for the nation as a whole.
What's the remedy to the situation, would you say?
Terribly simple. Let it be challengeable in the court of law. It is so simple. It's not difficult to do. And that's why Reform has said it will repeal that one clause in that one act, which says that a judge or a magistrate cannot consider any contest once a liability order has been issued. Remove that, which is what I said at conference we would do in a very early stage of a reformed government. We just get rid of it, and then things become challengeable at law, and that opens the gates to justice.
I really want to talk about the general reform situation in a few minutes' time. You're listening to Anne Widdecombe, former government minister in the Conservatives, now a Reform UK campaigner and member, who's highlighting a scandal which you will be hard-pushed to find in the old legacy media, a scandal which is causing an increased suicide rate, which is causing additional trouble at a time when parents and families are often in crisis, and for which there is no right of appeal. Who would have thought that would happen in a country which pompously claims to be the mother of democracy and goes to war to defend people's rights all over the world? Stay with me. In the final part of my discussion with Anne Widdecombe, I want to discuss with her something we've touched on a few times now and our caller also mentioned, which is Reform UK. And just to see what they would do differently on this and some of the other matters, the other affairs of the day. I'm Len Bitopic. This is today's News Talk TNT. See you in a moment.
Anticipate potential delays for the morning commute. In other news, a recent government report on prescription drug pricing points to corporate mouth.
Freedom of the press is about your right to know.
What are you talking about, man? Look at his stats.
Spark sheer athleticism.
It's about your right to be informed. Your right to access all types of information keeps us free as a nation.
No.
Today, there are real threats to press freedom.
Reaching residential areas by...
And your right to know about the world around us.
Look.
Some threats are obvious, some are easy to miss, but they all put our way of life at risk. We must defend against all of these threats, no matter what kind of news is important to you.
Justified putting American troops in harm's way?
That's a great question.
We must protect our right to know before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
Whatever happened to good? It's a word that gets thrown around a lot, and it's become our automatic answer to so much.
Hey, how's things?
Good.
Your mum, your weekend?
Good. Is good even that good anymore? At the Selbos, we believe good deserves better. Let's reclaim its true meaning. To us, good has always been about making a difference, and good never picks or chooses who it helps. Isn't it time we all remember what good really means?
You're with Len Bitopic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the show. In the next hour, we'll be talking to Tim Scott, former military man, who, and also a very senior representative of the Freedom Association in the United Kingdom, about really a case in point of where the state went horribly wrong. They sponsored a murderous torturer in a paramilitary organization for whatever reason. We'll find out why. We'll find out Tim's view. That's going to be in about 20 minutes' time. For now, we're with Anne Widdecombe, former Conservative government minister and a leading campaigner to try to put right the absolute scandal of the Child Maintenance Service, a scandal likely to have affected orders of magnitude more people than the post office sub-postmaster scandal, which has been occupying the media for many months and still with us. I want to move on to a general discussion, really, to take this opportunity to get your perspective on where we are as a country politically at the moment. You were a former member of parliament, as was I, but I feel things have got rather worse since we were there. Maybe not because we're not there anymore, but certainly something's, maybe that is the reason, but maybe something's gone badly wrong. Let me start with a test. You know so much more about these things than I do. You might even know the answer to this one. I'm hoping I'm teaching you a new word. Do you know what a quokka wodger is? Quokka wodger.
A what?
A quokka wodger. I'm glad you don't know. At last, for the first time in my... For the first time in living memory, I'm actually teaching you something, which is great. I'll let me give you the quote. This is from Just a Bloke. I didn't know the word either. Just a Bloke has said, a quokka wodger is, I quote, a wooden toy that jerks its limbs when its strings are pulled. A quokka wodger. And the debate in the chat is that we have many quokka wodgers in Parliament now. Puppets who jerk when their limbs are pulled. I feel that's where we are. I feel we've got a reactive bunch of people who don't have their own authentic narrative, but they just jump on the latest bandwagon, and the mudslinging has got to such a stage that the whole of Parliament's pulling itself down. Just before we go into the details of what you see as the problems that can be solved by reform, what's your general take on what we're observing in British politics right now?
What? My take is very straightforward. I think the quality of the House of Commons has never been so low. The quality of the House of Lords, you've got a teenager there, has never been so low. The quality of the civil service has never been so low. And you've got to ask, why has this happened? It's been happening over about, I would say, 25 years, which is roughly when both major parties decided that they were going to appoint candidates not on merit, chosen freely by their local selection committee, but on quota, with a view to getting more women. The Labour Party, as you all know, Lambert went for all women shortlists. The Conservative Party went for the A list. And both those attempts were to, if you like, select on the basis of identity rather than merit. And if you say, oh, isn't that a bit of an exaggeration? Let me tell you this. I saw at first hand a Conservative selection committee where we had decided to put three men and one woman in the final. And we were told by the central office agent, we can't do that. We've got to have two men and two women. And we said, well, look, hang on. The other woman is a very long way behind. And he said, it doesn't matter. And I then said, well, supposing we go ahead anyway. He said, we'll invalidate the selection. Now, yeah, I saw it with my own two eyes. And the day that we stop selecting purely on merit is the day that we began the path which led to where we are now, which is that we have a parliament who, frankly, it just not up to the job. They panic at the drop of a hat. They engage in endless plotting. There's no discipline. Things that we've been talking about, you know, big, serious things, are just not addressed.
Since the day I got involved in full-time politics, which initially was in the 1980s as a student, I've opposed positive discrimination because it was a negative discrimination when it came to merit. By definition, if you make any other judgment than merit, you are compromising the overall quality of the parliament. And I totally agree with you. That's what we've got. Now we've got career politicians, people who, to quote Tony Benn loosely, are weather vanes rather than signposts. And they change according to the wind. I would say that Nick Clegg ironically gave us a period of stability because he simply ruined the Liberal Democrats and went along with anything that David Cameron said. So it helped the country and ruined the party. But the problem we've now got is, as you said, this complicated issue. It took me time to research it. I felt I knew something about the child maintenance scandal, but I know much more about it now. It takes time to invest to understand these things rather than simply finding an echo chamber that reinforces your own prejudices. Before we go into the policy areas, what's the remedy for this? And is it feasible to believe this can happen in the next year or two?
Well, there is a remedy to it, but it's not going to bring about an overnight change. Because as I say, what we've got now, it's a product of 25 years of selecting on basis other than merit. So it's not going to be done overnight, but I think the simple solution is you do away completely with quotas, you do away with identity politics, you let local associations make the choice because they know what they need in their area, and you make merit as the absolute bar to who comes on the approved list and who doesn't. It isn't rocket science, but it's very simple. You put merit first, but it's going to take time. I think that the Conservatives will be pretty well wiped out in the next election. That is their chance to get a meritorious bunch of people in for the future. The Labour Party is unlikely to be wiped out, and therefore their poor quality will presumably continue.
A friend of mine who's defected at local government level from Conservative to Labour, I said, I thought you don't like identity politics. And he said, I've changed my mind. I identify as an opportunist. So obviously, I respect his honesty. I'm not sure he told his local Labour Party that.
I admire that as a riposte, yes. I admire it as a sentiment. Yeah.
Now, somebody who has been accused of opportunism was Lee Anderson during the week. And as I said before, I was appalled when the media, it was the state-sponsored media station in Britain, was broadcasting the press conference from Reform UK when this controversial character, Lee Anderson, was explaining why he'd left the Conservatives, as a former chair of the Conservatives, left the Conservatives to join Reform UK. And just when he was about to start speaking, they killed the feed. They went back to the studio and we had this bumbling explanation that they had to break into the live broadcast from your press conference to say that the Princess of Wales had apologised for photoshopping the picture. Accident or design?
Impossible to say, but typical. That you can say. It's typical. Triviality comes first. They love a bit of melodrama. There's very little sensible analysis. So I think it's probably a mixture of both accident and, if not design, at least pleased that it turned out that way. People across the floor from time immemorial, Churchill did it twice, you know, it's not unusual across the floor. And Lee Anderson has made that very difficult choice. I mean, you've been a politician, you know, you form relationships with party workers, you know, with colleagues, and you have to let them all down and move across to another party. And that is challenging. And I went through that when I joined the Brexit Party in 2019. Much more intense if you're actually in Parliament at the time. But if that's where your conscience leads you, that's what you should do.
Yes. And so he's joined now. He said that to a rather fatuous attempt at goading him by somebody else from the mainstream media, he explained that his priorities in order were country, constituency, party. And the woman tried to jabber over Richard Tice, your leader. He just repeated it again and they brushed her off and moved on. And I liked that because it meant that the media wasn't in charge of the press conference. The party was. So he's changed party. You've obviously chosen that route as well. We've said what's wrong with British politics. Why would the Reform Party be better?
I think that can be summed up in two words. Common sense. You know, we will not go with all the woke nonsense whereby you don't know the difference between a man and a woman. That is being taught in schools. You know, that is an insanity. We will concentrate on what the priority should be, such as defending the country, which, I mean, in this very dangerous world that we're in at the moment, there wasn't a penny more for defence in the budget. We will defend the country. We will get justice based on equality, that nobody has an advantage at law. Whether you're black, white, male, female, gay, straight, you are exactly the same in front of the law, which is how it used to be. So we're a party very much based on freedom and common sense, and we will stop the waste. There is massive waste in Whitehall, waste in every department, waste in the NHS. That is what we will stop, because there is no good reason why the state should be able to take people's money and then waste it.
Mazzy says, I would like to add what the guest Ashley said at the beginning, arrears that are false. I can't agree more. You're getting quite a lot of support here, actually. I can't say that this is statistically randomized sample. There's people who write in. Little Carol says, it's such a shame for the poor children caught up in this mess. That's something I really feel as well, because inevitably the stresses that this will create, it certainly won't help anything. Seb says, Citizens Advice Bureau is a joke. Well, okay, manned by well-meaning wageless volunteers who headed up by folk on seven-figure salaries. You're better off with the internet. Okay, well, that's a view there. And many other comments there. Looking at some of the other policy areas, although there seems to be a very messy and muddled backtracking from this, what I believe to be climate crisis fraud, Labour Party now having a totally uncosted policy, which means they haven't got a policy because they haven't got their £28,000 a year for their green recovery now. The Conservatives beginning to go back to fossil fuel, which they never really left. What's the Reform Party's position on all this green
agenda? Well, we are completely against the arbitrary target for net zero. Completely against it. Won't even endeavour to enforce it. What we will do is make the country self-sufficient in energy. And if that means fossil fuels, so be it. But at least it means we're not depending on France or Russia or anybody else for our fuel. And that is what we will do. You know, there is no sense at all in telling people are on modest incomes that they've got to replace their boilers by 2035. And they've got to have a certain type of car, which is much more expensive than the old petrol banner. No sense in that at all. And we won't do it. We will get rid of the arbitrary net zero target. Mm.
I couldn't really imagine you in an electric vehicle. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're right.
I wouldn't see a widow's mobile with dual power electrics or something like that.
No chance.
The other area, which has not been a point of differentiation for a while between parties, though I think Labour's trying to make it happen, is Brexit. Boris Johnson, former Prime Minister, said he'd get Brexit done. He didn't. Kinds of rubbish going on there. Labour giving the impression that they'd kind of like to drift back into the European Union. I'm not trying to put words in their mouth, but that's more or less what they imply. What's your position?
My position is we got Brexit. We did nothing with it. Now, what we've got to do is diverge from the EU, not converge. What was the sense in Jeremy Hunt raising corporation tax to the same level as France? We should have been reducing it so that we could compete with France. And that is what we should now do. The only thing we've really done are the trade deals, and those we have done. But we haven't got rid of the EU regulations. They're still a huge burden on the statute book. We haven't got rid of them. And we have tended to converge rather than diverge. Reform Party will diverge in the interests of Britain. You know, there is no point in having sovereignty if you don't use it.
There were some sceptics about you, Anne. You're very famous in the United Kingdom. You seem to want some of the people over. There's still a debate about language. Apparently, there's a word called cockwomble, which is apparently a little bit like the other word I said. I never thought I'd use that word. I never heard of it before this show. A Sunday Girl says, smashing up the LGBT banner. I do have to say, I don't really care what somebody's sexual orientation is. What I'm concerned about is the disproportionate focus on certain things at the cost of others, other things which affect more people. What would be the answer to this question? Well, I'm really going to be pretty persuasive on Lemon's show, but if you got into power, if Richard Tice became the Prime Minister and you had to be a minister again, I know you're not overly keen on going to Parliament,
I bet you'll have to stand.
You're not going to stand?
I'm not standing, no. So they can forget that. I won't be a minister in anybody's government.
Okay, you'll be the hand that rocks the cradle then. When Prime Minister Tice calls you and says, what should I do? How will you make sure that the Reform UK government is better than what we've got?
Well, I think that's very easy because when he says, what shall we do? I shall say, apply common sense. And he won't actually need that advice because he'll have already done it. And that is what I think. I don't think people realise the sheer extent to which common sense is lacking. I mean, the transgender debate, for example, nobody wants to be unkind to people who are transgender, but it's now got to a ridiculous stage. Well, you know, the NHS is starting to redefine a woman and saying, when you're giving advice on the menopause, remember it's not only women. Of course it's only women. Come on.
I've been suffering premenstrual tension all my life, Anne. Thank you so much for your view. Really appreciate the time you've taken, and thank you for taking on that very serious matter, which I haven't had anyone speak about as lucidly as you have since you got involved in that campaign many, many years ago, actually. If you have views about what Anne Widdecombe says, do put them into the chat. Hopefully we'll see you again soon, Anne, on different matters, and I hope that you feel that you've got a fair opportunity to share what's a very important campaign.
Thank you.
That's Anne Widdecombe, and I want to know what you think about what she said. Coming up next, in the next hour, we're going to stay on another heavyweight issue, a murderer who was sponsored by the British government in Northern Ireland. That's with Tim Scott. I'm Len Bitopic. This is today's News Talk TNT. See you in a few minutes.